Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks to everyone who checks in every single week for the new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Always appreciate you listening. Always appreciate the comments you leave in the various places you can do that. Please keep doing that. And if you're not already a subscriber, it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover new ones and know what's happening in the music world. You can subscribe to us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Anchor, Stitcher, Podchaser, wherever you get your podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith with and we'll take care of the rest. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, going to be talking with Sparks. In fact, Russell Mayall jumps on the line to discuss their new record called A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. We'll hear about how the songs have especially been taking on new meaning during the current pandemic and how their new songs actually speak to a lot of their older songs, especially on subjects like climate change. The band is also very good at swearing. There are a pair of songs on here that make very good use of a certain word. I'm going to talk about that as well. And how Russell ends up singing really challenging melodies. They're all over, beautiful melodies all over this record, but melodies that I think that a lot of artists would probably stay away from. But Russell does them with such mastery. Beyond just this new record, it's a very busy time in the world of Sparks. They've just completed a movie starring Adam Driver called Annette. Now, this is a movie that they wrote. It's a musical. Every line in it is sung, so I'm going to hear about that. and an upcoming documentary that's being done by Edgar Wright. Plenty of news there as well, so let's jump into this, talking about this record, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. It's Kyle Meredith with Sparks. Well, first off, it's always an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, and especially when there's new music involved with the new Sparks record, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. And that's not the only thing. I know it's a very busy time in the life of Sparks, it seems like, and I want to talk about some of those other bits that are also on the way. But kind of regarding this record, which, by, you know, compliments first, I have enjoyed it so much.
Oh, thank
just
you.
Singing along the last few days. It's so good. So
thank you.
So thank, yeah, congratulations on it. You know, it does come on the heels. The last record, it's, of course, it's been lauded that, you know, it landed in the UK's top 10, which was, you know, kind of the first in a little while. I do wonder, you know, you all have made so many records, but when you have something that lights like that, that kind of extra success that comes along, does that offer any extra rejuvenation when you go into the next project?
Well, we like to think that none of that really matters, that you're doing it for another purpose and that commercial success is great, but you're doing it for your artistry. And so when the last album, when Hippopotamus did go into the UK top 10, we were, you know, we were trying to say, well, that doesn't really matter. But then it was really kind of heartwarming that after this point in our career, after having at that point 23 albums, that now we could also do something that was not only what we thought creatively really successful, but something that also reached a lot of people. And so that in that respect, it has importance. And so that it was a really great thing. And I think it's also helped to bolster kind of the anticipation for the new album, which is coming out next month, that it did bring in the last album a lot of new fans. And so there will be more anticipation for this new album. And so that's why we worked extra hard also on trying to make it as strong as we could possibly make it.
For many of us who have followed you all through the years, you know, this is a great record, but it's another great record. And I don't want to disparage it like that. I'm really commenting on those new fans that you're talking about because, you know, to become just acquainted with Sparks at this point, you know, what an exciting little event. What a back catalog to what I'm saying is I'm a little bit jealous in a certain way of someone who gets to discover you for the first time.
Yeah, well, it's also a really unique situation that we have fans that are just discovering the band for the first time with any of the latest releases that we have. And so we kind of approach things knowing that it might be the situation where someone who just hears the new album and doesn't have any knowledge that this is a band with 24 albums, in fact, that we have to make the latest release be as strong as it can be. And I think that's what sort of keeps us motivated too, that we don't have a traditional career arc that most bands have that have had a long history, that we have, you know, different phases that have had different success in different parts of the world. And so it's not been as kind of tidy as a lot of other careers. And so a lot of people are just discovering Sparks now for the first time, and a lot of young people. And then they go back and go, God, how is it possible that this new album is from a band that has 24 albums, because it doesn't, right. It sounds kind of maybe too fresh and too modern and, you know, all the things that you hope for in an album by a band, you know. And so that's kind of one of the extra treats now, is that people are discovering the band for the first time and liking what we're doing now.
Yeah. Well, it's a hell of a record to discover a band on. And I do want to get into it too, because obviously there are so many interesting characters that go through your all songs through the years, and whether they're representative of you all or if they're just sort of characters, as I said, who are these people in the songs this time around? Or is there something that sets them apart from any of the folks you've written in the past? I guess, are they in our world?
Well, I mean, one of the knacks that Ron has about his lyric writing is that, you know, he's able to take mundane situations and maybe even mundane characters and kind of elevate them to another sort of level. And when you treat some of these subjects that are kind of more potentially mundane, and you treat them in a song and kind of make them overly elaborate about how you're talking about them, it brings it to a different kind of level and stuff. And I think that's a real knack to be able to do that. And there's a song on the new album that's called Lawnmower. And so it's about a guy's passion for his lawnmower. And he goes into such detail about this situation with the guy. And so it's a mundane situation, but it becomes something bigger when you treat it with the melodic kind of content that that song has, and also with kind of the detail and precision of the lyrics that are accompanying it. And so we kind of like doing that in Ron, especially where you have subjects that and themes maybe in songs that are kind of sometimes even maybe a traditional theme, but done in a way that's non-traditional, and talking about, you know, a relationship, which has kind of been done billions of times in pop music lyrics, but to find new ways of how you treat talking about a relationship. And that I think is a real knack.
So when it comes to, you know, I think, and I hear a lot of artists talking about how, you know, it's important for them to, of course, reflect in their songs, their snapshot, a lot of them will call it, you know, what is happening in our own environment, our own landscape. And for those mundane moments, you know, we've loved so many of those. But do you also find that you want to be reflective of what's happening in the world?
Well, I think that on the new album, especially, that the lyrics often in this album have become pretty prescient. It was also written, obviously, before the whole current situation in the world. But there's a lot of songs that now have taken on kind of a new meaning, maybe sadly so. But or have taken on new resonance now with the current situation. I mean, there's I'm Toast. Now you can kind of read into it in ways that weren't imagined at the time that it was written. And the song that's the final song in the album is called Please Don't Fuck Up My World. It maybe had a certain meaning at that time, but now I think it's even taken on a new meaning now. That maybe it didn't have. And so it's pretty interesting that I think a lot of what's in this album has become even more relevant now than what Ron had imagined when he wrote those lyrics.
And Please Don't Fuck Up My World. I mean, Chris, I hear that, and I hear, you know, about environmental crisis. And by the way, throwing the kids choir on there at the end, that's a nice addition for a line.
We liked it too.
Repeat. Yeah, for, you know, just to have those voices of Please Don't Fuck Up My World over and over. I did wonder, like, you know, when I first saw the title, I think it was even before I heard the song, you know, I thought back to Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth. And do you ever find that there are threads back to your older songs like that? Is that something you all enjoy doing? Or is it something you sort of think about later? Like, oh, yeah, you know, we've touched on this in a different way. And here's continuation.
Yeah, I think there's relevance between Please Don't Fuck Up My World and Never Turn Your Back on Mother Earth. And I think maybe even Please Don't Fuck Up My World is kind of even a more urgent call to arms. And the speaker in the song is kind of even being more aggressive in how he's trying to remind everyone that, hey, this is for real. And the song too can be taken, we thought, aside from that, the, you know, climate issues, that it can also be, you know, you can also say it could have been about a relationship too, that a guy's speaking to his partner and saying specifically about that relationship, please don't fuck up my world. But then it also then opens up into a, you know, a bigger topic about climate change. And now it's even, you know, you can take that theme, even just the general subject of don't fuck up my world, and apply it to what's going on right now in the whole world situation. So I think it's adaptable, the theme of that song.
And it's a fun, I mean, again, there's so much fun to listen to, and you get that on there. And, you know, I think a lot of the same things can be said about iPhone. I mean, obviously you kind of get, especially from an artist point of view, you know, you get that a lot too about, though, that's the one I keep repeating. That song, by the way, iPhone, that's the one I keep hitting play on over and over and over. It's another, maybe it's the word fuck. You know, you guys use it well, I think, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, that song, iPhone, is, you know, we don't like to gratuitously just throw in swear words because it's kind of cheap to be able to do that. But in the case of iPhone, where it's saying, put your fucking iPhone down and listen to me, it seems like it's such a colloquial way of saying that sentiment that you had to use that word, because we toyed at saying, you know, like, would you kindly set down your iPhone and listen to me? And it didn't have the same kind of resonance that put your fucking iPhone down and listen to me. So, and this song also, it's kind of, you know, it's just suggesting about communications amongst people, how it's, you know, kind of maybe we don't talk to each other as much as we do, we have in the past, in a more metaphorical way. We don't communicate with each other, and it kind of uses the iPhone as sort of a metaphor, but it also cites during the song about Adam and Eve and their kind of communications issues, and then Abraham Lincoln and his communications issues as well, and so it uses the iPhone, but kind of speaks also about different specifics throughout history.
And you know, and the way the melodies go in here as well. When you get a song like Onomatopoeia, do you find that's a challenge to sing, or is that something that comes natural to you? Because again, you know, you've had lots of moments like that through the years, but still hearing something like that the first time is completely impressive.
Oh, thanks. I really like the song Onomatopoeia. I think there's something so, I don't know, happy and kind of uplifting about it. It's so anti-cynical. There's nothing in the slightest cynical about it either. And it's just kind of just really, really happy and about this, you know, this person that can only communicate via onomatopoetic ways. And just that kind of thought combined with the melody of that song, it's just joy fest, I think.
On beyond that, as I mentioned at the beginning, I know there's other things going on, both a documentary and an upcoming film. The film Annette's with Adam Driver and Marion, I'm going to screw up her last name. How do you say it?
Cotillard.
Cotillard, that's what I thought. So it's got both of them in it. Could you tell me a little bit about this? I mean, there's only little scrapping so far of the information available from this movie, but this is something that you all wrote, right?
Yeah, we 8 years ago, we had done what we thought was going to be Spark's next album called Annette, and it's a narrative story, but we thought it would be really a cool thing to have as an album. And then we had met at the same time at the Cannes Film Festival that year, the French director Léos Carax. He had used one of Spark's songs in his last movie called Holy Motors. And after we got back from Cannes that year, we thought, God, we have this project, maybe just send it to him to see what he thinks about it. So we did, and he came back to us and said, wow, this is pretty amazing, and I would really like to consider directing this. So he did make the decision that he wanted to make this be his next film. That was 8 years ago, and now it's taken that long to harness together all the various elements, and that it all of a sudden became a fairly big-sized budgeted film when it turned out that we were getting kind of A-list actors wanting to be in it. And having Adam Driver give his green light to the project was just such an amazing thing for us, that what we had seen as just this, you know, small project we created in our living room, now all of a sudden Adam Driver is going to be singing that role that I had been singing here for 8 years as we developed it further with the director. So the project was shot and completed at the end of last year, and was still just some small editing tweaks being done, but it's basically finished, the movie, and we're so happy that it all got shot before all this, the situation in the world happened. So we're not sure exactly what form, you know, now no one is, what form, you know, movies are going to take going forward. And, you know, we had hoped it was going to be at the Cannes Film Festival, be premiered, but that Cannes Film Festival was postponed this year, pushed back for a month and a half or so, but it might be canceled altogether, we think, in the end, because it just would be probably not, it's way too soon to have a film gathering right. like that. So they're thinking possibly later at the Venice Film Festival or Toronto Film Festivals it'll premiere. So it will more than likely, you know, depending on just the course of distribution of films, what that's going to take, but it will be a really great high-profile film. And Adam Driver is just really spectacular in the movie, and it's all singing, all of the dialogue. I mean, 95% of it is sung, but in a way that's stylistically true to how Sparks' sensibility. So if you can imagine that in a Adam Driver doing Sparks, that's what we have. And then the other project we've been working on as well, or more accurately that Edgar Wright has been working on, has been a Sparks documentary. And for the past 2 years, he's been shooting Sparks all around the world, in Mexico City, in Japan, in London, Los Angeles. And he's been also compiling amazing kind of testimonials about Sparks from just various musicians and writers and film directors and actors, all speaking kind of about Sparks. And some that it's just been really great to see the amount of people and the kind of disparate, you know, areas that they all come from, all these really great people speaking about Sparks. So it's going to be a pretty pretty great document about the band. And right now Edgar has a 3-hour version of the film that exists for true hardcore people, but he's trying now to also edit it down for a more palatable time so that it can be shown, you know, in movie theaters and not have to be like a Star Wars or something like that.
Right. Is there any timeline on the documentary? Is it finished, or are you just waiting for the environment to work itself out?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a combination of both. It's nearly finished, and he's actually planning for it to be now more like ready for the Sundance Film Festival, which is at the beginning of next year. So that might be the launch pad for it, especially in light of the situation now where everybody's kind of not knowing how things are going to pan out, that planning for that late might be the smartest thing. But it'll be a really cool document for not only for Sparks fans, but also for people that aren't familiar with Sparks, to hear these various musicians and people speaking about the band.
Well, I mean, it's great people that, you know, have come to bat for you guys. Of course, Edgar Wright. I mean, of course, we love his movies, so I'm really interested to see how he does the documentary treatment. And of course, that, you know, cast from Annette. I mean, these are good people. This is exciting stuff.
Yeah, thank you. We're really excited about the upcoming events as well. So it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and in the meantime, of course, we've got this new record with a steady drip, 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 which I can't wait for everybody to hear on this one too, because it's such a fun record.
And great.
Yeah, Russell, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing this today.
You as well. Yeah, good talking with you. Thanks so much.
No problem. We'll see you around. Take care.
Okay, you as well. Take care. Bye-bye.
My thanks to Russell Mayall right there. Again, the new Sparks record is called A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. Now, the last time I caught up with the Brothers Mayall was back in 2017 when they had just released that record, Hippopotamus. It was a collection of unique, quirky, imaginative pop songs that challenged their legendary catalog as much as celebrate all the reasons why we love them. So I'm going to give you part two of the interview from this 2017 run here about that record and the backstories on a pair of its songs as well. Part two of Kyle Meredith with Sparks.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Good, thanks.
I feel like, you know, the place to start is kind of a silly point, because everybody seems to make, you know, the address that it's been, what, 8 years since the last album, but you guys have seemed as busy as ever in that 8 years. Is that the truth, or have you had some real good time off and got out of the cycle?
No, it actually is accurate. So we've been working on a movie musical project for the last 4 years, actually. It's a movie called Annette that we wrote the story and all of the music, and it's going to be directed by the French director, Léos Carac. And so we've been working on that for the for 4 years, even prior to the start of the new album. And then prior to that, we did that collaboration with Franz Ferdinand, with the group we called ourselves FFS. Mm-hmm. So that project also was done during that period. So yeah, we have in fact been very active, and you know, during that period. But now we the beginning of last year, we started work on the Hippopotamus album. And finally now, in September, it will see the light of day.
Does it feel like a palate cleanser when you get away from, you know, pop albums as you know, I'm going to use the term broadly, obviously, to do that kind of stuff?
It does, yeah. I mean, it's kind of stretching other muscles and using other muscles in a certain way and just working in a long narrative form and then working with a band where you kind of are not in another band like with Transferdinand, where you're not in your comfort zone. All those things are really, I think, are good, and they kind of have a good effect when you come back to working, in the way that you've worked before. You feel, kind of rejuvenated and more excited about doing it when you kind of come back. And you see also just the strengths of working in that way in a different sort of way than you had before.
And getting back to, you know, this style of music, I mean, what does pop music even mean to you guys at this point? Because you've always had a very skewed version of it. Great for us fans, but, you know, what's the even idea of, you know, the pop world for you guys at this point?
Well, go ahead.
Well, we sort of feel like we've got to carve our own universe, because the pop world that we always used to love so much, it seems like, you know, some of those ideals aren't being upheld in our minds as much as they were in the past. And so the only way to combat that is to kind of do something that you feel is kind of really vital and has that spirit that you feel is kind of lacking in a lot of pop music now. And so we just kind of, you know, approach things just with that sort of spirit.
You know, pop music to us, it's not like an inferior genre to other kinds of music, and we feel that people should respect that kind of music and what they do. And it just seems like a lot of people don't care enough about what they're doing, and whatever the results of what we do, we always are really care about it and are really intense when we're working on things.
Which completely, you know, shows itself when you hear the songs, the care that goes into it, because even taking like the title track, which was the first song that we heard from this record, I mean, you know, what you guys do with that, because it almost sounds like a children's song at the beginning, and maybe that's on purpose. And the way you do it, it sort of becomes scary, which, you know, it's really interesting how easy to make it children's music sound really scary anyway.
we'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, that's
a scary children's song is fine by us.
Yeah.
Does the hippopotamus itself represent anything specifically?
No, I mean, you know, people have asked, you know, is it a metaphor for something? But what we like about it is it is just a modern, a dark fairy tale, or, you know, a dark little short story, kind of, or not even dark, you know, but it's a short story that it's a little bit offbeat, and that it isn't a metaphor. The hippopotamus isn't a metaphor for something else. It's a short story unto itself, where Guy sees these disparate objects kind of piling up in his swimming pool, and then the end, you know, he's wondering how did they get there and all of that. There's Hieronymus Bosch and, you know, a book by Anonymous and Titus Andronicus and 58 books on a microbus, and, you know, and in the end he just concludes, well, isn't that grand? And I like that that's the end of the, you know, end of the little short novella.
I mean, this is the type of story I would actually prefer to read to my child.
Yeah, yeah. They need to start with a little substance, you know?
A little bit more imaginative. And I'll wrap up, in fact, with that newest single that we've all been hearing with Edith Piaf, because to center in on her, and again, I don't know if it was just, you know, that's just where your idea landed at the moment, but I kind of feel like what you guys are doing now isn't far off with what she was up to in her day too, vocally especially, but musically as well.
Well, that's really kind, because, you know, we don't want to make value, you know, comparisons ourselves, but if other people do, that's fine. but she was somebody who was able to convey their personality really strongly through their music. And, you know, in our own way, that's kind of what we've sought to do. And also just you know, you mentioned about the vocals and where there's, it's a style of vocal that is incredible and kind of is beyond kind of the slickness that you hear from most singing, even singing that you consider really good singers. And so I think just the idiosyncratic nature of the singing is something that we really, you know, identify with.
I really do love what I've heard so far, and so happy that you guys just continue to do it. You're one of the most original artists out there, and I couldn't be more thankful that that you're doing what you do.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you guys. I'll let you get to your plane, and hopefully we'll see you around.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And again, that interview back from 2017 and the record Hippopotamus, the new Sparks record, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. It is masterful. Pop mastery. Definitely check it out. Thanks to Ron and Russell. Thanks to you for listening. Also, again, if you're not a subscriber to the series, I do hope you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening from right now. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and learn about new ones and know what's happening in the music world. Again, you can find us at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Anchor, Podchaser, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. We'll deliver new interviews to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. After that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews, too. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.